Today in our hot seat, we've got Spence Green, who is the CEO at Lilt.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So Spence, are you ready? Shall we do this?
Let's do it.
Welcome to C-Suite Hot Seat, the show where we put C-level executives from language service providers of all sizes in the hot seat. We will ask tough questions and get inspired answers. Our hosts today are Inga Boonen, VP of Consulting, and Gabriel Karandashovsky, Chief Operating Officer at NIMSY Insights.
Spence, in one sentence, tell us, what is it actually that Lilt does?
Lilt helps businesses implement a great and consistent global experience, by which we mean anyone can engage products and services in the language of their choice.
What's the first career that you dreamt of having when you were a kid?
I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player.
Oh, are you still good at that?
No, I think I had to leave that behind. Yeah, sort of got to the limit of my talent, I think.
Okay, and so when you're not working, that's not necessarily how you spent your time, is it?
Not playing,
playing
baseball.
No. So how do you spend your time when you're not working?
I like to run and I like to scuba dive.
And if you were given a chance to go and visit three different countries, which ones would you choose and why? Is that places where you can go and scuba dive, or are you going to choose other types of countries?
I guess I would say Yemen, Oman, and Saudi Arabia. Oman's my favorite country, and Yemen and Saudi Arabia I've never been able to go to. I speak Arabic. I lived in the Middle East for a while. And so those are the places that I've always wanted to go.
What's the best piece of advice that you've ever been given? It's not an easy one.
My advisor in grad school said to play to your strengths, meaning if you can't be first or second best at something, go find something that you can be first or second best at.
Love that.
Nice,
very nice. That's why you don't play baseball anymore.
That's right. I couldn't make it to the major league, so I had to go look for something else. That's correct.
Nice. All right. Spence, thank you for sharing. I feel like we know you a little bit better. Thanks again. But these weren't really the tough questions we have for you, right, Inga?
No, I wouldn't say so. These weren't tough enough. So Gabriel, okay, take it away.
Yeah, let's jump straight into it. So the very first question for you, Spence, what was your first breakthrough, the moment that you realized that you had to do things differently in order to advance?
The technology behind Lilt, we got working in 2014 in a series of papers that we wrote. And this approach to translation people have been working on since the late 60s. So I would say that is what, you know, led to us being able to, you know, sort of start the company and have impact on the unit economics of translation, which is what we're trying to do.
When was the moment that you realized that you can make some good money out of this?
I'm not sure that moment has arrived yet. The challenge is nobody's built the category defining company in this industry. And like I said, unless you can be first or second best, then what are you doing? So until we get to that point, I'm not sure I have an answer to that question.
Fair enough. Okay. So maybe taking a look at the highlights and lowlights so far, what was your biggest failure and what you have learned from it, if you're able to share?
Oh, there's so many of them every week. I think I probably have a pretty strong recency bias. I think a big one along the way for us that we've been sort of recovering from this year was I underestimated how difficult change management is for people, for customers in this industry. I think we thought we have this great technology. Software is having enormous impact in lots of different areas of the economy. People will want to adapt this approach, and we underestimated the human impact of change on people. And so we've reoriented our whole business in the past 6 to 8 months to be a lot more focused on being a partner through change. And it took a way too long to figure that out.
On the other side of the spectrum, what was your biggest success? Do you have a story to share there, a short one with us?
Well, for our team, I think we're sort of have made it out of the early stage when, you know, you don't have many customers and you can't really get the sale working. And so, I don't know, it feels like the last, you know, 6 months where our company's really started to grow and the team has figured out how to affect change and serve customers is, I don't know, just watching that happen has been enormously gratifying for me personally to see a team of people succeed.
What was the most innovative thing you've ever done?
So we build this machine translation system that has two unique characteristics. The first is that it's adaptive, so it learns as it's used. And two, it supports user interaction. So it looks like kind of predictive typing. While you type, it predicts words and phrases while you work. And then there's a set of workflow applications and an API that goes around that. We build the whole thing ourselves. And then we use that technology in two businesses. The first business is a managed service, which is mostly in the commercial private sector customers doing localization. And we also use the technology in the public sector where it's used primarily for defense and diplomatic reasons for people who do foreign language work in government. As I mentioned, in 2014, when we sort of got the technology to work, I think that for me personally was important. More recently with our company, you know, like for example, last year we moved all of our translators to hourly pricing, and that's still a big work in progress. So I'm not sure how many companies have done that.
How do you motivate your team?
First of all, you should hire for people who are motivated by growth, both their personal growth and the team's growth around them. If you hire people like that and you give them a mission that everybody believes in and clear objectives for success, then you just let them do what they do, which is achieve.
What makes you a great leader?
I'm a work in progress in that regard. I'm not going to say that I am one.
Right, fair enough. And thank you. Then another question, and a little bit different again, a different topic. What is your pet peeve when it comes to clients?
I don't have one. I think all customer feedback is a gift.
What's the one thing you're excited about that's coming this year and beyond this year?
Yeah, technology-wise, we have a system coming out, which we call Auto Review, which we've spent a lot of time trying to make the translation process more efficient, but not much about the quality control process. So it turns out you can treat quality control as just another translation step where you have the source text, you have a translation that was generated by someone, and then you're trying to predict what the reviewed translation is, and you can build a system to do that. So we've got a paper in for that. And one of my colleagues just demoed that actually at LocWorld a few weeks ago. And that'll be coming out in the second half of the year.
How do you view the workplace of the future?
Of course, COVID has forced all of us into this entirely remote working world. And what we're moving towards is a concept where the small team is the basic organizational unit. And at the team level, people make decisions about the where and the when and the why of work. And then it's our job at the larger organization level to ensure the coordination of the different teams. So we hadn't really thought about it that way before, but that's how we've thought about redesigning work going into, you know, coming back out of this all remote time.
What advice would you give to young entrepreneurs starting their own business in the language industry?
I think just generally, like, businesses exist to satisfy a customer need, and you've got to be really focused on customers before anything else. And I think that's especially important in language, which is a services business. And so customer service is the thing that people index on very strongly, more so than, you know, technology or return on investment or any of that stuff.
That's great advice, Spence. And yeah, thank you so much for joining us in the hot seat. I hope you didn't sweat too much. If anyone else feels like letting off some steam and you're part of the C-suite at a company in the language services industry, sign up with us if you dare to sit in our hot seat.
For the viewers, this was all, folks. Thank you for watching and look out for our next episode, which will be published as a video on Multilingual TV and as a podcast on the NIMSI website. Thank you for tuning in.